Okay, so we are reading from Madhya Lila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 6, The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, text 168. Translation. The Buddhists do not recognize the authority of the Vedas, therefore they are considered agnostics. However, those who have taken shelter of the Vedic scriptures yet preach agnosticism in accordance with the Mayavad philosophy are certainly more dangerous than the Buddhists. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although the Buddhists are directly opposed to Vaishnava philosophy, it can easily be understood that the Shankarites are more dangerous because they accept the authority of the Vedas yet act contrary to Vedic instruction. Vedashraya Nastikyavada means agnosticism under the shelter of Vedic culture and refers to the monistic philosophy of the Mayavadis. Lord Buddha abandoned the authority of the Vedic literature and therefore rejected the ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices recommended in the Vedas. His Nirvana philosophy means stopping all material activities. Lord Buddha did not recognize the presence of transcendental forms and spiritual activities beyond the material world. He simply described voidism beyond this material existence. The Mayavadi philosophers offer lip service to Vedic authority but try to escape the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. They concoct some idea of a transcendental position and call themselves Narayan or God. However, God's position is completely different from their concoction. Such Mayavadi philosophers consider themselves above the influence of karmakanda, fruitive activities, and their reactions. For them, the spiritual world is equated with the Buddhist voidism. There is very little difference between impersonalism and voidism. Voidism can be directly understood, but the impersonalism enunciated by Mayavadi philosophers is not very easily understandable. Of course, Mayavadi philosophers accept a spiritual existence, but they do not know about the spiritual world and spiritual beings. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 10.232, Yenne ramindaksha vimokta maninas vayasta bhavat avishuddha buddhaya aruya krichena parampadam tataha patantyadho natrita yushmat angraya. The intelligence of the Mayavadis is not purified. Therefore, even though they practice austerities for self-realization, they cannot remain within the impersonal Brahma-jyoti. Consequently, they fall down again into this material world. That's very interesting that instead of giving translation to this verse, Srila Prabhupada just gives his purport. So apparently he expects us, by the time we read Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, to be already familiar with this verse, which is the meaning of this verse is this is one of the prayers demigods offered to the Supreme Lord. So they're saying, they're saying, oh, lotus-eyed Lord, there are people who are thinking themselves to be liberated, vimukta maninas. So they're not really liberated, but they think they are liberated. They consider themselves liberated. Vayasta bhava avishuddha buddhaya, but they do not know you, they don't understand you, and therefore avishuddha buddhaya, that their intelligence is not pure. Aruya krichana param padam tata, that therefore all their efforts are completely futile. And then what is the result? Patantia dho. They fall down again, Nadrita Yushma Dangraya, because they do not take shelter of your lotus feet. So, and he applies this verse to Mayavadis, that Mayavadis are classical, well, actually not classical impersonalists. We'll say a few words, what's the difference between Mayavad and impersonalism. Mayavad is actually the worst of all the impersonalists. So, so Prabhupada says, consequently, they fall down again into this material world. So Prabhupada continues, the Mayavadi's conception of spiritual existence is almost identical to the negation of material existence. The Mayavadis believe that there is nothing positive in spiritual world, in spiritual life. As a result, they cannot understand devotional service or the worship of the Supreme Person, Satchitananda Vigraha. The Mayavadi philosophers consider deity worship in devotional service to be Pratibimbavada, or the worship of a form that is the reflection of a false material form. Thus, the Lord's transcendental form, which is eternally blissful and full of knowledge, is unknown to Mayavadi philosophers. Although the term Bhagavan is explicitly described in Srimad Bhagavatam, they cannot understand it. Brahmeti Paramatmiti Bhagavaniti Shabdete. The absolute truth is called Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavatam 1 to 11. The Mayavadis try to understand Brahman only, or at the most, Paramatma. However, they are unable to understand Bhagavan. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, says, Maya Bharita Jnana. So, I suppose that's the end of the purport. So, we can read the text one more time with the translation. Vedana maniya bodha haya ta nastika vedashaya nastikya vada bodhake adhika. The Buddhists do not recognize the authority of the Vedas, therefore they are considered agnostics. However, those who have taken shelter of the Vedic scriptures yet preach agnosticism is in accordance with the Mayavad philosophy are certainly more dangerous than the Buddhists. So this is very amazing chapter, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is preaching to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is none other but the guru of all the demigods, Brihaspati, who took part in Gaura Lila. In this way, he became Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is stating in here, addressing him, that Mayavad is worse than Buddhism, which is a very shocking statement, because just to give you an idea, just to put you in Bhattacharya's shoes for a second, Krishna consciousness defeats Nirvishesha Shunyavad, right? This is what Sri Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra says. That his mission is to liberate the Western world from the philosophy of impersonalism and voidism, right? And so this is what we claim, and this is what we believe. And then someone you are arguing with would tell you that your Hare Krishna movement is actually worse than all impersonalism and voidism put together. Just imagine how that would make you feel. If someone would make that statement, how that would make us feel. And so, as we understand historically, Mayavad teachings were established by Shankaracharya to defeat Buddhist dominion in India, right? So with his preaching, Shankaracharya drove all the Buddhists away from India. And still, I mean, Buddhism, I mean, you can imagine Buddhism was predominant tradition in India at one point. And Shankaracharya was such a powerful acharya that practically Buddhism is very, very rare in India nowadays. So such a great influence his preaching had. And then for Sarvabhaumacharya to hear this statement that Mayavad is, that certainly blew his mind. So it's called shocking therapy. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is using upon Sarvabhaumacharya. And he's not just saying things for the sake of them, but he actually gives his own evidences to the statements and does that in a very, very humble way, as we know, that he listened to Sarvabhaumacharya for 7 days in a row without interrupting or even asking one question and without falling asleep either. He was listening very, very attentively, but keeping quiet. And Sarvabhaumacharya became really bewildered why he's keeping quiet. And he asked him, you know, why are you keeping quiet? Why are you not saying anything? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just humbly said, you know, I'm not smart enough to understand what you're saying. So you're very intelligent, I'm not. And Sarvabhaumacharya, being tricked by that statement of Mahaprabhu, he said, but why don't you ask any question? If you don't understand one, why don't you ask any question? And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu admitted, he said, I understand everything you're saying, but I'm just so disturbed by your twisting Vedic literature to prove false conclusions. That Vedanta Sutra is so crystal clear, and you're distorting it with your commentaries. And then, of course, Sarvabhaumacharya, as we can imagine, would say, okay, if you're so smart, if you know real conclusions, then okay, share the real conclusions. And then this is when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's turn had come, and he preached very, very powerfully. And this is one part of his preaching. And we can imagine, you know, that the contrast of Mahaprabhu's personal humility and simplicity with the power of his preaching was so mind-blowing, definitely. I mean, this is one of the sweetest chapters in Chaitanya-charitamrita, which, of course, is very sweet. But actually, there is a truth to what he says, that Mayavad is worse than Buddhism. And I remember the statement Srila Prabhupada made one time. He said, actually, material religionists are worse than communists, than atheists. Yeah, he said the atheists, they are better than mundane religionists. Why? Because at least atheists, they say we have nothing to do with God. We don't want to like deal with anything connected to God. We don't want to touch anything spiritual, religious. We don't believe in that stuff. But mundane religionists, they say, oh, yes, we believe in God. And then they bewilder people in the name of God. So it's like, if you are fighting in the battle, it's much better to face the enemy, right, in front of you, because you are armed, you are ready to fight, and you have better chances, rather than someone pretending to be your comrade, someone pretending to be your ally, and sticking knife in your back, right? That's really terrible. So in that sense, Prabhupada was saying that atheists are better than mundane religionists, right? Because at least we know, okay, these guys are against God. The very word atheism means against God. But those who pretend to be religious people, and then in the name of religion, they promote crazy ideas, then they are actually worse than atheists. And so in that sense, this is very suitable comparison, because Buddhists, they are kind of atheists, even though they are not exactly defined as atheists. Scientifically, Buddhists are defined as non-theists. Very interesting. This is Kali Yuga phenomenon, that you have non-theistic religion. Actually, a number of non-theistic religions, Buddhism being one, and then Jainism. And I believe some of you might be, could be practicing Jainism even before you started practicing Krishna consciousness. And Jainism is also scientifically defined as non-theistic religion. So it's amazing, Kali Yuga invention, that it's a religion, but without God. You come to the altar to bow down, and there is no one to bow down to. The space is empty. Like we've been to Indonesia, and it's really amazing that so many Indonesian Hindus, they practice their traditional Hinduism, and actually they of course worship so many demigods, but when it comes to the Supreme Lord, there is an empty altar. There is nobody there. And at one point they were challenged by monotheistic religions, because Indonesia is strictly a religious country, right? You cannot be Indonesian without believing in God. It's quite amazing place to be. I think this is the only country on the planet where they say that actually this is their constitution, the foundation of their constitution is based on Panchashila. Probably many of you recognize the Sanskrit words. Pancha means five, like Panchatattva, right? And Shila means, well, one translation is stone, but something solid, kind of foundation. So five fundamental principles upon which the entire country is based. And guess what is the first principle there? That every Indonesian must believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Supreme Lord in Indonesian language is defined as Maha Isha. So every Indonesian is supposed to believe in Maha Isha per law, per constitution. And they don't even care about the complaints of atheists who are saying, excuse me, I'm Indonesian, I don't believe in God. What does it mean? What am I supposed to do? And they are told, you better write something down in your identity card, otherwise you'll be in trouble. So mostly they are writing Muslim in their identity card. We've met such people. They're saying, you know, one guy, really nice man, he was helping us with our preaching there. We made friends with him. He said, I don't believe in God, but because you are trying to do something good for the people, I'm supporting you. But, you know, it's such a religious country that I have to write in my identity card that I'm a Muslim, even though I'm an atheist. So anyway, how did we get there? Yes, that non-theistic religions. So, I remember that. At one point, Hindus were challenged in Indonesia by Muslims and Christians and Buddhists also, that Buddhists, at least they can say, okay, we believe in God, our supreme Lord is Buddha, right? Many of them actually believe that. It's quite amazing that the biggest part of the Buddhism is Mahayana Buddhism, and the biggest part of Mahayana is Pure Land Buddhism. And they have the supreme worshipable personality, who is Amitabha Buddha, and their main spiritual practice is chanting the name of Buddha, and they're pure vegetarians, and they offer all their food to the deity of Buddha before they consume it. And they believe that the goal of life is not nirvana, but to go beyond nirvana and actually enter into the pure land. What is pure land? Pure land is the realm beyond this material creation. And in that pure land, one can serve the supreme Buddha forever. So it's quite amazing how many similarities with our tradition in the core Buddhist practice. So that's why we believe that Lord Buddha is one of the avatars of the Supreme Lord, as Srila Prabhupada explains, that Lord Buddha came and he said, guys, there is no God. And all the atheists became really excited. Okay, wonderful. We have such a nice leader. He doesn't believe in God. So, and Buddha said, don't read to scriptures. Don't listen to any religious people. Just follow what I'm saying. I'm telling you to do. Just do what I'm telling you to do. But he is the Supreme Lord. So he cheated them, right? He said, I'm an atheist. I'm your supreme leader. So just follow me. So they follow Lord Buddha. And so consequently, they follow the Supreme Lord. So that's quite amazing how it's happening in Kali Yuga again. But why Mayavad is worse than, I have to finish the Indonesian story. Sorry to jump around all over the place. That Indonesian Hindus were challenged by all other monotheistic religions. You guys are not monotheistic because you believe in everything and everyone. And therefore, you cannot be defined as religion. So we have to exclude Hinduism out of the religions. And all the Hindus started panicking because normally they would fight with each other. But in the face of such a danger to be declared to be non-religion, you know, to be eliminated as Hindus, they came together. And, frantically they started discussing, we actually believe that, you know, we are actually monotheists. We believe that there is one supreme, but how do we explain it to everybody else? And after long, long discussion, they came up with the concept of the Supreme Lord in Hinduism. And believe it or not, the Supreme Lord they came up with is called Achintya. As we understand, Achintya in Sanskrit means inconceivable. So this is the roundabout, this was their roundabout way to explain which Supreme Lord we believe in. So he is the Supreme, but it's a, you know, he is Achintya. And they even have the picture of Achintya, and you can never tell whether this is man or woman. Actually, you can check it out on the internet. Indonesia, Achintya, God, you will see the picture. And so, anyway, that coming back to our story, coming back to our text and the purport, it's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Mayavad is worse than Buddhism, because in Buddhism, I mean, people can advance spiritually if they strictly follow Lord Buddha's teachings, because there is no offense to the Supreme Lord. They're only interested in overcoming Maya, right, by following Dharma. So that's the whole Buddhist core teaching, that you are suffering. Thank you, Lucas, for posting the link in the chat. Everyone can easily check it out. Indonesia and Achintya. And so, yes, Lord Buddha says, you are suffering in this world because you are conditioned. And the conditioning is, he says, ego, what we understand, false ego. So the opposing thing is to develop compassion. And so if you develop compassion to all living beings, you will overcome your false ego and you will become liberated and achieve nirvana. So that's the entire teaching of the Buddhism in a nutshell for you today, right? Very simple. Nothing else. We're not worried about spiritual realm, this and that, even liberation. We're not worried about it. We are worried only in overcoming suffering and attaining spiritual happiness. So Lord Buddha was not even talking about the soul, what to speak of God. So he wanted to completely exclude everything religious from his teachings. Very interesting. So yeah, in that sense, Buddhists are not offenders. But Prabhupada says Mayavad is, I mean, not just Prabhupada, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi, because they say, oh yeah, there is God, of course, but this God has no hands, has no legs, has no head, nothing, no eyes. So, I mean, they're offending Krishna in that sense, right? Because they're saying God is, God doesn't have any senses, God doesn't have any feeling, God has nothing. And actually, you are God, and I am God, and everybody is God. So this kind of rubbish, right, they are promoting. And that's why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rightfully says, and this is amazing, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, supposed to be Mayavad Sannyasi himself, right? And he's challenging one of their topmost authorities, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, challenging him, says that Mayavad is really terrible thing. So it's amazing preaching strategy. He got right in the heart, and from there he started spreading Krishna consciousness. Something we can learn in our preaching strategy as well. But we have a few more minutes. And I can see in the temple room at least, and online as well, I'm sure, there are many wonderful, Vaishnavas who could also share a few words of wisdom, or if you have any questions, that's also very welcome. If you like to say or ask something, or maybe complain about something, I'm not sure, you're also welcome. Object, criticize, denounce.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. This is really wonderful explanations of Mayavad and Buddhist philosophy, taking us on a tour also to Indonesia. I never heard of these examples. Very interesting. And this achintya is really something inconceivable. I found this point interesting of that, how actually this was kind of a shock therapy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing there. And I remember when we had Chaitanya Charan here from ISKCON Chaupatiya, he was also speaking about this personalism versus impersonalism. And he did kind of a similar thing in mentioning that actually he saw impersonalists that are more personal in their dealings than we as devotees are oftentimes. Mm-hmm. And especially he had one example where some members of some impersonalist school, they wanted to leave the institution. And then he saw how the others, they did everything they could to kind of get them back. They went to their homes, had home programs, spoke to them and like that. So what is your thoughts on that? How can we become more personal in our dealings and in the institution of ISKCON?
Yeah, it is true. And actually, he's not the only leader who is mentioning that. I've heard from the wise communication director of Europe, who happened to be temple president of Vrindavan, Parabhakti Prabhu, very old, very experienced devotee. He told me one very interesting story, how in Italy, one leader of Buddhist school became a devotee. He just happened to, come across devotees, started reading Prabhupada books, and then he became brahmachari in the temple. And everyone was so excited. But after a while, he told the devotees, I think I should better go back to my Buddhist monastery. And the devotees were confused. Why did he want to leave? And he said, I like the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, but we have much better dealings amongst our Buddhist monks than amongst the devotees. So it's quite unfortunate, I would say, that, those who follow the philosophy of voidism, they have better dealings with each other than those who follow the philosophy of personalism. And of course, this is completely against our teachings, as we know from the fourth, verse of Nectar of Instruction. Dadati pratigrinati guhyam akhyati prichuti mukte bujayate chaiva shadvitam priti lakshanam, that there are six loving dealings devotees supposed to follow with each other, and that is giving gifts to each other and receiving gifts, sharing confidential knowledge, or revealing our minds and confidence to each other, and hearing and listening and being confidential. It's not that whatever you heard, you have to tell everyone else. Devotees really like to preach, and sometimes they have no discrimination. They just share whatever they heard from other devotees, even though it could be very confidential information. And it's very unfortunate because it ruins love and trust, which Srila Prabhupada highlighted so much. And of course, giving and receiving prasadam, I think, in at least in these two, we really excelled. So, but for others, they require working on, especially this revealing the mind and being confidential. And so, yeah, Krishna says, of secret things, I am silence. And so sometimes we need to be silent about certain personal sharings the devotees are trusting us with. And yes, I was thinking that in one sense, our sole focus is Krishna, right? But we're not really giving so much attention and service and friendship to the devotees. And so according to our philosophy, if we only think of Krishna, but we're not thinking, if we only consider Krishna to be worth of our attention and service and care and everything else, that's very good, but this is neophyte mentality. But mature understanding is to understand that Krishna is not just on the altar, but in everybody's hearts. But this is a kind of purification of the heart that unfortunately this religious pride comes out at certain level in our spiritual lives, and it's something we have to consciously work on by serving the Vaishnavas. It's quite amazing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was approached by one resident of Kulinagram with question, and the question was twofold. My dear Lord, please tell me what is the topmost goal of life and how can I achieve it? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the topmost goal of life is to develop love of God. And there are only two things you need to do in your life to achieve it. Just imagine. I mean, we have 64 different items of devotional service listed in Nectar of Devotion. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also lists five very powerful devotional practices. But here in this conversation, he says, you only need two things. If you do two things only, you can achieve love of God. Anyone's interested to know what the two things are? Very simple. Serve the Vaishnavas and chant Hare Krishna. That's it. If you just serve Vaishnavas and chant Hare Krishna, you don't have to worry about anything else. You'll get love of God. And so, yeah, that's why I'm thinking that Chaupati example is so brilliant, because Radhanath Maharaj never tires of repeating the same thing. Just focus on serving Vaishnavas. That's really important thing for us. And I think the more we talk about it and the more we think about it and the more we practice it consciously, then the better we will become in this very important item of devotional service. Thank you, Lucas.
Thank you, Maharaj. Yeah, I think that's a very valid point, and we need to consider deeply how we can overcome these tendencies. I think we all have them. It's the default of the material world, right? This impersonalist thinking. One other thing in link to that is, you mentioned how actually the most dangerous thing is when religionists pretend to be religious, but then kind of stab God in the back, so to speak. And this is another thing we can also see in myself, at least, this kind of psychological atheism is what it's sometimes called, What do you think? How can we go about it? How can we deal with that?
Yeah, of course, it's really important for us to be guided, not just service-wise, but have some senior Vaishnava. And I think at the manor, you're really fortunate because there are so many mature Vaishnavas you can associate with and take guidance from. And not just guidance in service, but have someone whom you trust, you can reveal your mind to and get some practical suggestions. So I think it's the best way to overcome all our problems, to have senior friends who can guide us. I mean, you're all fortunate because you have Sutapa Prabhu there, as well as a few other devotees, senior devotees living next to you, and you can always take their guidance. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Maharaj. I think we don't have any more questions at the moment. So, since you have to have another meeting soon, right? We probably can end at this point. Thank you so much, Maharaj. And I really hope that you can come over here as soon as things open up and give us your association. And till then, wish you all the best and thank you so much for being with us.
But let's see if devotees in the temple room, they wanted to say or ask anything. We can give them opportunity. Yes.
Usually they put the questions in the chat.
I see, okay.
so far it doesn't seem like now there's discussions going on. Let's see, 1 minute. Looks like they're very happy and satisfied.
All right, okay. Very good. Very good.